Fine. Okay, so yesterday we looked at the Ramban, and we saw that at least in the context of Pigul, which is the king of the mental invalidations of a Karban, the Ramban focuses the prohibition in the fact that you're invalidating the Karban. Interestingly, despite the fact the Gemara's conviction that it's a lav she'in bo ma'aseh, that it's not active, he also finds the invalidation in the act of shechting it in right with the improper machshava. But that set up a model that we have to, right? We had set up of three potential models to talk about in terms of what the Isser might be to invalidate, you know, of having lolishma thoughts, right? One is that you are making the object puzzle, similar to where the Ramban talks about pigul, which again is parallel for him, though not identical to Mumen and Ravea and Irva and stuff like that. Or saying that the machshava is independently usher, right? Or it's usher to have the thought which is going to invalidate, right? But what we wanted to then do was say, okay, well, how is that going to carry over to lo lishma? Because lo lishma isn't quite like pigul in the sense that besides for chatat, the karban remains kasher, right? Kasher vilawala. So therefore, we have to say, if you want to go in the direction of saying that the reason that it's usher dev lo lishma is because it does something to the karban, you really need to expand in that sense the Ramban and say that it is, despite the fact that you continue bringing the karban, the very fact that it's not oles shows that there has been a qualitative change in the karban that's been brought about by you. And as such, that is recognized as a form of mummification or something. I don't know. I don't know what to say. To coin a phrase, I don't know. On the other hand, you might say, well, no, it doesn't invalidate, and therefore we have to look elsewhere, that it's usher simply to have the improper thought, or it's usher to have a thought that's going to have any sort of impact on the karban. And as we noted, that even when you talk about that, you have to focus on the question of whether it's an aser or lotase, right? Is it fundamentally aser because you can't have this type of thought, or is it aser because it's a derivative of the aser? You should bring the karban with the full, you know, with full intention and the like, and you are failing to do that. Okay. So, yeah. Right, so we ended up with basically three models, right? Which was either you are chayiv to bring the karban to maximal perfection, and when you have a lo lishma thought, you are therefore not doing that, you're failing on that. Or it's usher to have an invalidating thought, period. Or it's usher to have an invalidating thought, but the focus isn't on the action, the focus is on the result. So, again, we saw that the Ramban, on the one hand, focuses on the result, though it's more complicated than that, right? Because it's usher to shecht with the machshava that is going to invalidate. But he does talk about it parallel to mum, parallel to roveh, parallel to nirva. So he does seem to focus on the result in that sense. And again, he's already mechadesh that pigul, despite the fact that it's happening up here, right? The isser seems to be in the action that is then implemented once you've set in motion the possibility of invalidating. We noted that our Gemara on Dav Gimel, on the Dav Bet rather, the pasuk quoted is Motzah Sratech Deshmor Vasita, which seems to focus on the Aseh, right? That you are chayev to bring a karban in the normal way. On the other hand, we said that's not an ironclad proof that the Gemara thinks that by Lo Lishma, it's only an Isser Aseh, because that's not saying why it's usher to have the initial improper thought. It's saying why once you've brought the improper, you've already had Lo Lishma, why you have to continue bringing the karban, even though it's not going to count for you, because it's still kasher. And if a karban is kasher, even if it's kasher below Allah, you have to continue on the trajectory that you are. And oh wait, where's Eitan? What? He was here during Seder, right? Whatever. Okay. What? Okay, so let it come when he comes. Okay, so what we want to do is figure out what the right, so why it might be problematic to have that initial thought of lo lishma. Okay, that's where we were. So here, the way the sugya really, you know, is presented in many of the mefarshim is really a stira in Rashi's on this sugya, right? So if you look at Zachem on Daf Bet, on Amud Bet, so Rashi comments on right at the top, right? Nidava in Zvachim, right? First in Zvachim, Unidava. Right, and the Rashi on the top of Bet Amud Bet of Unidava Mishari, right, Lishanuiba, right? So the Gemara had said, are you allowed to change from a Nidava? Right, so here's where the Gemara is saying why it is that you have to continue bringing the Karban, right? Because even though, right, it now is switched, right, Kasralola, Neder, Nidava, etc. So he says, V'cheven derachmona karye Nidava. Since even after you have had the lolishma thought, we still call it a nidava. Mishari lishenuyiba, or is it permitted to continue changing? Amrinan beperek sheni aser lechadshiv v'kadshim. It says in Daf Chavtet that it's aser to have improper thoughts with karbanot. V'yalef mikra delo yechashiv v'achi midrash kra. So Rashi says what? Right? That he conflates here, Daf Chavtet, with Daf Bet, meaning Pigul with Lolishma. Right? He says, the Yalif Mikar de Loy Hashe, the Hachi Mitrushka, Imotzas Vadecha de Shmor Vasita. So how does he read the pasuk here, the invocation of motzat v'dechet tishmor v'asita, that anything comes out of your mouth, you should keep? That, as we said, remember, the Gemara quotes that pasuk not at stage one, right, to forbid having the lolishma thoughts, but at stage two, namely that even if you've already had that, since it has a certain level of validity, namely kasher v'lo Allah, you are obligated to continue bringing it, which obviously would not be true quite the same way by Pigul, right? But according to Rashi, our Gemara, the chiyuv, the asay of motzaz v'dechet mor v'asita, that just tells you that as long as the karban maintains basic validity, you have to continue the process, despite the fact that you've already had lo lishma, you're not going to be allowed to, and it's not going to count for you. But the source of the problem of having the lolishma thought for Rashi, the initial one for him is a derivative of Pigul, right? The derivative of Pigul of lo yechashev. And as we already saw, so first of all, again, we have three models. Is it an asay, right? Meaning you are supposed to bring the karban properly, and if you don't, therefore you failed in that. It's an isser to have the improper thought, or it's usser to have the improper thought because you're not allowed to mess up the karban, right? So Rashi says, whatever, there's no market, no markers. So Rashi says that the what? Okay, we can get them. I mean, I don't know how much I need them, but it might help. Yeah. No, right? That's why this is weird, because it's obviously not Pigul itself. Right? I mean, it's not Pigul. But the Isser to create it, he derives from the same Pasuk from which we derive Pigul. Now, as we saw in the Ramban already, Pigul, arguably, the Isser is really focused on the... I should remember to bring. Last year I bought for myself, because I gave up, and like they were like 5 shekel for 5. But I left them at home because then the yeshiva bought more. No, I'll make a note. I'll try to remember to bring it in mind. It should be the worst of our problems. Again, in the case of Pigle, it seems at least plausible that the problem is that you've messed up the carbon, right? In that sense, it is surprising to say lo lishma, which doesn't fully mess up the carbon, right? It makes it kosher v'lo Allah, and that it should be parallel to Pigle, and yet Rashi does invoke it. However, right, it's not, you don't have to say that, because you don't have to say that according to Rashi that he agrees with the Ramban, right? He could say that Pigle itself, the result of Pigle is that it messes up the carbon, but the issur of making something Pigle is that original thought, right? Isn't in the object, but is in
the thought.
Right? Is in the thought, is having the problematic thought. It's less. Well, actually, no, right? If you think that the pasuk is not focused, if it's on the object, you know, I think a marker would help. I don't absolutely need it, but still, I think it's going to be helpful. So, well, they're all dry. Yeah, all the markers are dry. I don't know what's done. What? Yeah, you could try. I don't know. Anyways, you could try. It's like, you know, scavenger around here. Can you find the non-dry marker? Yeah. That's not a permanent marker, and you know,
it may or may not exist.
Correct. It may or may not exist. And if you find it, you can take a candy from my talis bag, because I have my Shabbos talis nefer is filled with candy. No, it's for my kids. It was, you know, I always have to have a, you know, candy around for my kids. A, because they're my kids, but also because they can't get from the other candy men necessarily, because, you know, gluten-free and stuff like that. So, and it was, you know, Simchas Torah, crazily enough, 3 days ago. Right? Like, doesn't feel that way. Yesterday I legitimately turned to Ray Wasserman and I'm like, totally serious question. Is today actually only Tuesday? Like, I'm not sure. Like, this feels like the longest week ever. What? Now it's Wednesday. Yesterday. But I was just like, I have no idea. It does not feel like, you know, it's like I had amazing Sukkot. Like, Sukkot was great. I do not feel like that was only a few days ago, because Simchas Torah was, you know, pachot good, to put it as mildly. Yeah! Afterwards, you can take a candy from my dollar swag. That's right. You missed that. Okay.
Right? So we have three models, right? There's the assay model, right? Which is, right? Bring a carbon, right, properly, essentially, right? Then there's the lav action model, meaning the very act of having a problematic thought is prohibited, right? And then there's the result model, namely that the problem is that, what? A prohibition, right? Meaning, so assay is, right, this is failure of a positive, right? And this is, right, negative, right? And then it subdivides whether it's focused on the action, having the improper thought is usur, or it's the result, right? So now,
wait, if it was the result, I mean, it's not only God.
Right, meaning the means by which you create the problem is through thoughts, but the isser is actually focused on the fact that you are messing up the carbon. So we noted that here, the Ramban, right, seems to put it over here. Well, the Ramban focuses mostly on this, though he does have a little bit of this, right? But the Ramban, by Pigle, right, compares it to Mum, to Roveya, Nirva, Nevad, all those other things, right? Which seems to focus on the result, right? Because it's other things that are invalidating, right? Though he also thinks that it is a prohibition to do the action with the thought that will lead to the result, right? So he's somewhere, let's say, here.
Okay? But now if we want to deal with lo lishma, so here's the problem. Rashi puts lo lishma with pigle. Now, in order to understand Rashi, we have two possible ways of understanding Rashi. Right? One is to say that, right, kasher below Allah, even though, right, kasher below Allah, even though it is kasher, the very fact that you've now made it below Allah means that you have, right, changed the carbon itself, and therefore this is essentially pigle minus. Let's call it pigle minus, right? That's one possibility. Or the fact that Rashi compares pigle and lo lishma, whereby pigle it is an invalid karba, and by lo lishma it's valid minus the fact that you're just not old, you're not yotze kasher below Allah, means that he finds it, right, that the focus of pigle is less the fact that you're invalidating and that you're having a problematic, right, thought, right? So this is the problem. The other place where it could be, I'll call it, right, not pigle minus, but sort of like pigle. Right, this is clearly pigle minus because it is not invalidating in the same way. On the other hand, right, if you think that the isser is to have the wrong thought, you could say, listen, it's always usher to have improper thoughts for carbon. Some of them hurt the carbon more than others, right? Right, so it could be that it's over here, right? So this is, what? Well, it could be. Rashi says not. Rashi on in Zvachim derives it from lo yechashev, lo. Right? That's what I'm saying. I said these are theoretical models. Rashi in Zvachim says that it comes from lo yechashev, and the asay, motzas v'techadish mor vasita, he invokes not to explain why it's also the initial thought, but why, despite the fact that you've had the initial thought lo lishma, you have to continue bringing the karban, because even though it's lo Allah, it's not going to count for you, it's still kosher. And therefore, it is still a kosher karban, you have to continue. However, Rashi in Menachot, now, one of the things you have to know about Zvach and Menachot is the beginning of the Masechet that are basically identical, except one is by animal karban, i.e. Zvach, and Menachot is about meal offerings, i.e. Menachot. The Mishnayot are basically identical, and even the beginning of the Gemara are very, very, very similar, and that's why the sugya just go back and forth. Then they diverge, but at the beginning, they're very, very similar. So Rashi in Menachot, and this is source 10, says, and you, literally, right, if you didn't know that it was Menachot, you would think that it's Zvachim. It's the same words on the same page, Bet Amud Bet. But if I just put blank, Bet Amud Bet, Unidava Mishari Lishanuyeba, that's literally what you have in Zvachim, right? They're very, very, very parallel, right? And he says, what's the source there? V'hachtiv! Why aren't you allowed to do it? Im zevach shlamim karbano, shem deim zvicha l'shem shlamim. He says, why is it that you can't change it? Now again, it's not ironclad, because you could say he's talking about the second stage again. But here he doesn't invoke pigle. The only thing he says is, why can't you change it? Because you have to bring the karban. So it sounds like, but again, you do have to know. Now, all the achronim assume there's a stira in Rashi. That's not obviously the case, because again, in both cases, Rashi is talking not about the first stage, the second stage. And even Rashi in Zvachim says that the second stage, after you've had lo lishma, the reason you have to continue bringing, can't mess it up more, is because of the asay, right? But it is true that Rashi doesn't invoke it. There were many assume that Rashi is here, right? Sounds like he's saying, well, right? What? Well, the Gemara, because the Gemara invokes the same sugya. You could distinguish. You could say, I mean, theory, but like I said, the Gemaras are basically parallel. It goes through the exact same analysis. And the Gemara seems to treat them... You often have that in Shas. Meaning, you're right, it could have distinguished, but it doesn't, right? Maybe it wasn't obvious to Meikara, but once you do it...
I think this question is, why doesn't just the Gemara...
Yeah, because that's not how Shas works. You know, Shas repeats things. And is that an exact repetition? Oh, because... No, because, like I said, the Gemaras are entirely parallel. Right? Like, the Gemara goes to the same... Rashi's not like... Right? He's commenting on the same thing. Unless we know otherwise, Zvachim and Menachot are often basically the same. there are obviously differences from the fact that they are different types of karbanot, but there is. What? Yeah. Yeah, I don't think that's. Yeah, right. Yeah, that too. He also. Rashi doesn't assume they're different. He quotes the pasuk of in Zevach Shlamim. Rashi assumes that whatever is true by both, right? So here it might sound like he thinks that it's the world of Aseh, which again, as we said, there's good reason to believe that, right? Because our Gemara does invoke that pasuk, admittedly at the second stage. But also, it isn't like Bigel. The carbon remains kosher. It's just that you're not Yosef to bring another carbon, but it's still kosher. And therefore, you'd have to invent these categories of pigle minus or sort of pigle, right? Whereas by lolish mai, there is a logic that says, no, the reason you can't do lolish mai is because you have to bring it properly. That's all, right? It's an assay. Now, just like in Rashi, there are different indications. The Rambam also has different indications. So you look at the Rambam in Perek Yud Chet. The Rambam in Yud Chet says, anyone who has an improper thought by a karbon. You violate a lav because it says lo yichashev. So at that halacha, where does the Rambam seem to place lo lishma? Asay, lav, or lav focus on the result? Right here, very clearly here, because does he distinguish? He quotes by all machshava. He takes the pasuk by Pigel and just says, "Kol amachashiv machshava shein nechona b'kachim." You have any improper thought, so you violate lo yichashiv. So in the halacha aleph, the Rama makes it sound like, listen, right? This model that this is Rambam, right? Sumei amukdashen, right? Yuchet aleph. Right, the Rambam says, don't have any thought that you shouldn't have by karban, period. It's asur. Right? So in Yurchet Aleph, he sounds very much like the thought itself is problematic, and if thought itself is problematic, then, as we said, it's easier to explain why the pasuk by Pigel should be the source for improper thoughts of any sort by karbano, if you focus on the action of having the wrong thought. Right, because even though the results diverge, right, if the focus is don't have the wrong intentions by a karban, so whatever wrong intention you have, and that's asur. That's halacha aleph. Gets more complicated by halacha bet, because halacha bet, the Rambam then says, mi pieshmu alamdu, right, and we learn from Kabbalah, right, from Misora, from tradition, included in that prohibition is a prohibition to not cause a loss to the karban with your thoughts. Because it is similar to making a mum in karbanot. The afal pichen eno lokesh eno machshava maase. But nevertheless, you wouldn't get malkut because thought isn't action, right? So in halacha bet, he already goes where? And he says, is. What? It can be, right? Yes. Meaning he says, right? So it could be the Rambam says, is look, one, never have any thought that it is. Invalidating. The second thing you have to know is that included in that general category is a more localized problem that in the cases when you mess up the karban, right, that is like, I don't know, a secondary part of the prohibition, right? He doesn't say it's a second prohibition. It's michlal lavzeh. Now, what would you say? When he says this, is he talking about, does he think that lo lishma is here? Right, this clearly includes pickle, right? Does he think that lolishma is here?
He does have an effect.
Correct, right? The what's going to be the key word to figure that out? Is that word. What does the Rambam mean when he says yafsi? Right? The Rambam says, right? What?
Right, I mean, when you say yafsi,
right? The question is, what does yafsid mean? If yafsid means that you've made it be completely lost, meaning it goes down to a zero, then that part of the prohibition at least would be limited to
pigul,
right? But if you think yafsid means cause a diminishment, right, cause it to be lost from what it was, then in theory we could see a certain amount of flexibility and maybe include lo lishma as well. Now, if you continue, though, the Rambam in Tetvav Gimel has yet a different formulation. He says, "Asur lechashiv bikatshe machshava sheina nechona kemoshi yitbayer." Right? It is forbidden to have the wrong thoughts by a karban, as we'll explain. Lefichach, therefore, zevach sheshachdu shelo lishma. If you shech the karban not lishma, o mincha shekimtze shelo lishma, or you, what's kmitza again? Yeah, right. The scooping of the dough and the throwing it on the mizbeach of the meal offering. Bein bizadon, bein bishkaga. Whether you do it on purpose or not. Now again, he used the word usher, but now he says, chayiv lashlim shara avodat lishma. And you have to finish the rest of them lishma. Afilu shachad v'kibel v'holech v'mashav v'shinu yashem. Even if you shechted and collected the blood and brought it to the mizbeach with the thoughts of changing the karban, right? You brought a shlomim as an ola. Chayiv lizrok b'machshava nechona. U'mipnei man yishtana din achatat b'pesach mikol hazvachim. And why is it different by the chatat and the pesach, as we saw? V'din minchachotim minchachanot mikol menachot. And the sin meal offering. And the mincha offering of the sota, minchat kanaot. Why are they different? Because by chata we say you have to bring it l'shem chata. V'chein shar avodotel l'shma. V'nomar al chata toshita te'aseh l'shem oto achet. V'ne'emar v'chiper alav shiyed l'shem ba'alav. V'ne'emar b'pesach v'asita pesach l'Hashem elokech. J'kol asiyed l'shem pesach. By pesach also has to be brought for the right reason. V'ne'emar v'amartim zevach pesach hu l'Hashem shetei zvichata l'shem pesach. Ha'im shina shmo shem ba'alav pasol. U'minchat chot e'u omer mincha hi. U'minchat sota ne'emar ki minchat kenodi. Shiyu kol ma'aseh l'shman. Right now again, the Rambam here, again there's a bit of the ambiguity where he says, usher, right? But then he says, why is it usher to continuing to have more improper thoughts? Because you're chayav to bring the carbon properly. Now again, it's not clear of that original moment. Just like with the Rashi, there's this problem. But at least having the second invalidating thought, the Rambam seems to say, why is it usher? Again, that's a positive. Does that mean, same with Rashi, does that mean he thinks that even the initial thought is only a positive, right? Is a in not clear, right? But it's clear again that by the second one, that is where he focuses, right? So here is where, right, this tension in Rashi's and the Rambam's, right? Where, right, they talk about the law, they talk about results, they talk about assays, right? We have to talk maybe at different stages and the like, but this is where all the Achronim try to come in and try to figure out what they mean. But again, we don't even need the Achronim to see that, right? Again, well, not that it's a mess. We already know there's possible solutions. We've already said that, right? Because we said it's not necessarily a stira in Rashi. Rashi in Menachot is talking about the second stage. And it could be that once you've messed it up, the only reason you have to continue is because of the positive mitzvah, but it is already messed up. But the initial stage, he thinks that it's asur because of lo yechashev. And why does he think lo yichashev? Either because he thinks there's an isser to have improper thoughts, or because he thinks that even moving the carbon down from kasher ve'ole, right, of it being kosher and working for you, to kasher ve'lo ola, that's significant enough to be called a quasi-invalidation, right? It could be. Or Rashi is saying different things. The Rambam as well, we know that he has three formulations, but again, just like with Rashi, technically he only brings up the assay the second stage. And yes, he quotes both of these, but even with their own, right, we said these are not necessarily not related, right? He does seem to say that the thought is intrinsically problematic, right? And then he seems to posit a secondary category within that, which is when you create a result. And whether lo lishma is part of that category, he's not totally clear, right? Again, in halacha aleph, he clearly equates pigul and the other ones at the level of action. Whether he thinks that that parallel continues to the secondary part of the prohibition, which is that you messed up the karban, comes down to whether you think that lo lishma, the fact that it's kosher v'lo Allah, is considered enough of a hefsek, right, of a loss in the status of a karban, such that it is recognized. So I gave you just like a few samplings here of the achronim to give you an idea of how they deal with these tensions. So if you look at the mitzvah Eitan, here on number 14, again, some of you were really valiantly getting through all of them, which I'm very impressed. Those of you who didn't, we'll read them together. So the mitzvah Eitan notes. Ma, right, Rashi quotes Rashi here. Azal chashiv kashiv yalf mikad loy chashiv. Mashma the ikav of chashiv shalol lishmo lav. He says it's quite clear from Rashi here at least this month, right, that there is a prohibition, not just a failure of an asay, to have a low lishma. That much is clear from Rashi. The af agav the ikav kad loy chashiv gavay pigol. And even though, yes, the original source of that pasuk is by pigol and not by lolishma, and the simple pshat of Dav Dalid is that the reason not to have a lo lishma is because of the positive. V'Rashi gufei perish kein bereish menachot. And even at the beginning of menachot, that's what he quotes. Now again, that's not totally true because Rashi technically quotes the ase in the context of Menachot by the second stage of why you have to continue. So it's not totally clear, but it's true that that's what he invokes. Which implies that what we're dealing with is a derivative of the positive, a failure of a positive and not a prohibition. So he says, So he says, no. He settles on this. It's a lav. What is the purpose of the assay? The purpose of the assay is to, what is a gilui milta? What is it? He says it's a gilui milta. What's a gilui milta? A revelation, a clarification. He says like this. The fact that you have an obligation to bring the karban to maximum effectiveness is what tells you that when you minimize its effectiveness, you've done something wrong. But once you know that that's the case, it goes under pigul, right? Meaning, the fact that you are chayev to bring a karban properly, not just sufficient that it should be kosher, but that ideally there is a value to bringing a karban that you would be yotze with, that means that by having lo lishma, you've done something. You've done something that is recognized. So the asay is coming to reveal to you, right? The fact that there's a chiyuv to bring a karban to maximum effectiveness indicates that if you do anything to mess that up, you've done something wrong. So therefore, the mitzvah Eitan argues that for Rashi, in the end of the day, this is the proper model.
How does that make sense? Why can't you say that on every other positive mitzvah in the Torah?
And sometimes we do, right? Sometimes we do that. In this case, he's just saying, look, it's not obvious, right? You might have thought that, listen, bring a karban, and if you're not yotze, so you have to bring another karban, but there's no positive mitzvah to bring it properly. It's just like, you have to bring a karban. If you keep messing it up, so you lose out. You'll keep having to bring more animals. That doesn't mean you did something wrong per se. It's just that, so you've messed up your pocket, your wallet, because you have to keep paying. The fact that the Torah says, no, you must bring it properly, right? Rather than you have to be yotze, right? Those are different things, right? Meaning, listen, if I tell you, listen, you must pay your taxes, okay? You must pay, right, or whatever. You have
the taxes must be paid.
Whatever, right? So if you then take your money and burn it on the way to, you decide you're going to pay your taxes in cash, okay, and you decide to, on your way to it, you burn it, right? The simple pshat is that you didn't do anything. You didn't do anything against the tax authority by burning your money. It may be the case that that you need to now find more money to pay them, but you didn't, right? You didn't pay your taxes, but that doesn't mean that the burning of your money was a violation of tax law, right? So you wouldn't necessarily have known that. Look, if I keep bringing a karban lo lishma, so I'm not yotze. So that you might have thought that that's just the equivalent of me burning my money, and the tax authority is getting angry at me not because I burned my money, but because I didn't pay, right? But the fact that the Torah then comes and says, no, bring a karban properly, that already says that no, it's actually wrong, right? Is that once you've sanctified a karban, even though, yes, you're going to have to bring another karban if you mess this karban up, that doesn't change the fact that, no, once you've made something holy, God does care. Right? God does care, right? This is like, it's the difference between, like, the tax authority doesn't care, but your parents care, right? Your parents will get annoyed at you, right? You're burning money, and even if it's your money, they'll say, what are you doing, right? It's my well-earned money. They'll still say, right? They'll still get upset, right? You're being an idiot, right? You're doing something wrong, right? The act of messing, right? It's like, look, correct. Like, it's like, look, your parents give you a check and they say, I would like you to take this check to pay the taxes to, right? Now, the value of the check itself is minimal, right? If you keep ripping up the check, right, you didn't actually lose anything except the few cents that that a check costs, okay? What? No, but if your parents give you a check and say, please bring this and deposit it, right? Put it in the mail. Right, and you rip it up. So, okay, let's leave aside the few cents. Not once you've ripped it up. No, you didn't. What are you talking about? Yeah, your bank account, the fact that your parents wrote out, you know, $1,000 to this CRA. That's the CRA? CRA. It's the IRS in Canada. He is from Canada. That's why he said CRA. Yes, it's the Canadian Revenue Agency, whatever it is. So if your parents say, here, Evan, here's a check, $1,000 to the CRA, right? The second they write that, the money didn't come out of your account. Correct. If they then rip it up, if you rip it up, so the only money that your parents lost was the value of the check.
No,
your parents could write another one. No, but my point is that your parents could write another check, right? But they're going to get annoyed with you. The CRA doesn't care, right? The CRA just cares that they get a check by the end. It doesn't matter to them if you go through your whole checkbook, right? It doesn't matter to them. They don't care if you decide not to do checks and you decide to do a direct transfer. They don't care. They want their money by the end. That's all they care about. Your parents, on the other hand, will say, we wrote you a perfectly good check. We told you to do it. Why'd you rip it up? You have to write another one, right? So the Mitzvah Eitan says, listen, you might have thought the Hava Amina, without the Asay, would be that you are chayav to bring a karban. If you keep doing it lo lishma, so that's your problem, right? I just care that by the end you get the karban. But you didn't do anything wrong by having lo lishma. It just meant that you had to keep spending more money. That's your problem, not God's. Right? That's your problem. The asay comes to tell you, no, God cares. God is like your parents, not like the CRA. Right? I told you to do something. Right? Now, it may be true that how much did I actually lose? Right? You lost the value of the paper. Now you'll write a new one. Right? So why are you annoyed? Don't you just care that in the end of the day you pay the CRA, you bring your karban to God? Answer is no. Kamash Malan, God is more, in this scenario, also like your parents. He actually said, once you wrote that check, right, I want you to cash it. Right? I want you to give it to the tax authority. You didn't. Right? That's a problem, not just because they're not going to get paid, they will get paid, but because I told you to do this.
then that asay is essentially the same as the love. How, like, there,
no, no. So he says, according to him, the asay reveals. Right.
I know, but like I'm like the effect of the asay and the lo tasay in that case, if he's right, is the exact same.
Well, I mean, okay, again, in spiritual accounting in Shemayim, there'll be some
right,
difference.
Okay, I guess that's
right, right, right. Now, again, we're going to get to the halachic point, which right. is, right, I did say, not just the kachim point. Because here, this is a mirror, you're right, at this point, this is a spiritual accounting thing, right? Right? Which is, when you go to Shemayim, is God going to say, right. you failed in Azer a lot? But remember, the case that you asked me about before, which is, well, what about tefillah? What about other things, right? Are there parallels? Well, we need to come up with a model, right? Because, again, what is he really telling you? That if it weren't for this special pasuk, what would you assume? That, yeah, that there is no problem of doing it. The only thing we need is that, right, but remember your question was, okay, well, what if I say Shema without Kavana? So I have to repeat Shema, right? Yeah, presumably. Yeah. I don't know what the parallel is for the attacks authority. I don't know if they like are like, hey, look, he brought a, you know, charge check. I don't know, right? I don't know if there's such a thing. I never know. The CRA is weird. I don't know. Well, what? Correct. Well,
so according to him, in the end, you're over on this.
Right, is that you did something wrong. That's his conclusion. So, we'll see, right? But that the chiddush of the result model is that even though this is not an invalid karban, it's just that you're not yotzei, you apparently have messed it up. And that is problematic, right?
The result model doesn't care about this.
Right, this is already two steps removed. Is that no? The problem is the result. Now, again, the difference, like I said, what you're going to have to figure out is in each of these, okay, we have three models. Part of it is a spiritual accounting question, but part of it is going to be what we're going to see. I don't know if today or tomorrow is okay, but what about other cases in the world where you need kavana, right? Right? So, like, right, the case that you asked me about is, right, this is what we're going to get to, but the keep it in mind. But what the Torah Lishma is an interesting case. Is, let's say, right, you have to have kavana for Shema to be yotzei. Let's say you didn't, right? So now, the question he wants to know is not whether you violated an Isser, because that, again, is a spiritual accounting question. You have to go back. The question he wants to know is when you go back, right, do you just repeat the pasuk, right? Or do you have to start from the beginning and go through the entire process again? Why? And what is he asking? He says, well, by karbano, we have a model of what happens when I did an action minus lishma. And the answer there is you have to go through the whole process again. First, you need to finish it badly and then start from the beginning, right? Does that exist by shma, right? Now, right? That question, right, is assuming that whatever we're learning here by Carbano is universal. But this is not obvious, right? Right? Because if you think that, no, by karbano, there's a status called a less than valid karban, but because there's a less than valid karban, I am chayiv to continue bringing it because of the asay, then it's a very localized halacha to karbano, and by shema, there would be no such parallel like that. And you would say, listen, what you need to do is just repeat the pasuk, and so, you don't have to finish it first and then go back. This is, like, unique because of all these different magical things going on by Carbono, right? But it could be that no, what we're learning here is something universal with the way halacha works, right? And again, that's why it's important to spell out the models, but also be aware of the fact that each of these models is not just a model. It's a model that is backed up by a pasuk, right? And if that matters, then when you don't have the pasuk, then you can't just invoke the model. You can't just say, well, it lumdishly sounds similar. That's not how it works. Is what is actually the pasuk by the end of the day that's driving us, right? That matters if I want to carry it over somewhere else, right? If it's just a conceptual model, then sure, conceptual models can be borrowed, but not necessarily if to come up with a model, you need a pasuk. Okay, so then he says, V'chein matzinu b'divir Rambam, the Sefer HaChinuch, t'chom achshav ha'asur b'kodshim, hu ba'azharat lo yichashev mitam shekatavti. He assumes, based on Yudchet Aleph, the Rambam also concludes at the end of the day, here. V'cheinu b'tosva, gavei chilat etzim levona, b'tumat yitravu me, basr memelo lakim yimelo, tucha lechol b'sharecha, v'im kein, ein stira b'rev heresh rashi, d'travaya tzrichei, l'fizeh, l'mandem, r'machash, v'kashem, loke, ein chilat min machshava b'piko, obishlo lishman. Now he says, there is another nafkamin, it's not just a spiritual accounting. What's the other nafkamin of spirit, right? Which is, on chavtet, remember, we saw that there's a machloket. We paskin the lav shein bo maaseh, ein lo kin alav. But the Gemara says, note, there is one hita that lav shein bo maaseh, that even a non-action-based prohibition, you get malko. Rabbi Yehuda. So now he gives a second nafkamina, which is not just spiritual accounting, which is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you get malkut for making something pigle. Do you get malkut for lo lishma? No, d'oraita. Malkut, real malkut. Malkut d'oraita. Right? Rabbi Yehuda says, in general, you get malkut even for a lav shein bo maaseh, a lav that doesn't have an action. Right? So, he says, well, if you end up here, what? Ah, good. And that's why the next circuit we're going to do is, are we dealing with dibur? Right? Does machshava here mean dibur? Now, in general, lav shein bo maaseh means you don't get malkut for thought or for speech. Right? For the moment, I'm assuming that we're talking about thought. But as I said, after this, what we're going to deal with is a very long sugyan. Like I said, because for the moment, we're assuming that lo lishma, we're actually dealing with thought. But as we'll see, that's a machloket rishonim, whether it's thought or speech. Because thought here might mean speech. We're going to get there. We're going to see that when we do the next sugya. There's a reason I had to do this first. So, Evan, one of the proofs of the Rishonim who say that machshava throughout this sugya must not actually mean thought, it must mean speech, is your point, which is Rabbi Yehuda clearly thinks you get malkut for bringing in Harban al-Lishma. You can't know what's going on in your head, i.e., it must mean that machshava doesn't mean machshava. Machshava means speech. No. Rabbi Yehuda says that every lav that doesn't have an action, which means anything, right? Speech in general is considered not action. You get malkut. Always, right? Your point about the epistemic point is part of why many of the Rishonim believe that throughout this entire sugya, we, even though we keep saying thought, we don't mean thought. We mean say, right? We don't mean thought. But that's the next sugya, so I'm bracketing it for the moment. But hold your epistemic point, because you're right. That is one of the proofs. The fact that malkut is possible here is one of the proofs that we're not dealing with thought. On the other hand, it's not necessarily a proof, because you could just say that if you say it, so then we can punish you. If you can't, you violate it, we just can't prove it. Okay, so God will punish you. That doesn't mean, right, there's two questions, right? One is, did you do something wrong? The second is, can we prove it? We all know that those are not identical questions, right? Yeah. Well, but to his second nafkamina is not a spiritual accounting. Is according to Rabbi Yehuda, you get malkut for having a thought of pigle. But would you get malkut for thinking lo lishma? So according to the Mitzvah Eitan, the answer for Rashi and the Rambam is yes, because it's a lav. But if it was an asay, right, it's a derivative of an asay, the answer would be no. You don't get a malkut for failure to do something positive. You only get malkut for doing something negative. So that is the Mitzvah Eitan. If you look at the Maromei Sada, also known as Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, known by his acronym, which is Netziv, right? Same guy, but it's his parish on the Gemara. He also notes this, Ha damrin perek sheni asr lechashe v'kachav yalav v'krad l'yichashe v'lo yadatzi l'may perish rabbeinu achi tebele dechtiv v'nedava gam kemim zevach shalamim karbano v'achi perish rashi v'resh menachot unedava. So again, the Netziv says, what are you talking about? Why do you think there's a lav? It's not an alav, it's an asay. There's no lav to have lo lishma. You just have to bring on carbon properly. Uve emet alav the lo yichashev myri b'machshava haposelet legamre at ha carbon. He said lo yichashev is only when it invalidates the carbon, because he thinks that pigle is down here. But if pigle is down here and lo lishma, you continue bringing the carbon, then it can't be here.
Are we talking about
pigle
only or
puzzle? Pigle, right? And that's the case on chavtet.
Oh,
right. So he says, Kumosha called the Rambam, and his proof is the Rambam. Jerry is a matel mum de kachim. What's his proof? Yuchet bet. Is the Rambam focuses on Yuchet Aleph, it literally talks about this action, but the Yuchet bet, he compares it to mum. If you're in mum territory, that means you're in result territory, and the simple shot is that if it's about creating a result, meaning messing up the carbon, there's a difference between pigol and lolishma. Because pigol, the carbon is bad, and lolishma, it's good, you just aren't yotze. And then it's if takes it as a given that this pigle minus model makes no sense.
Is that the action if you're just told to keep bringing it? Is that basically what
correct. He says, listen, there's two extremes. But if I keep bringing it, then all you did was an ase. You failed to bring it maximally. And then there are the machshavot that make the carbon totally invalid. And that's the love. But this idea that it's usher to do something in the middle, he doesn't buy. Right? And therefore, lo lishma is ase, pigle is also because of the result. Because it's like making a mum. Right? That's how Minitziv conceptualizes this. And he says, no, you know why I think Rashi derived it from Lo Yichashev? Because the Gemara says that even after I messed it up once, it's usher to have another bad machshava, right? But, and potentially even a third time, or in a fourth time, or whatever, right? Each time I have a bad machshava, it would be bad. Now, by the essay, that doesn't make sense anymore. Because once it's not perfect, so then, as long as I keep bringing it, it shouldn't be usher to have another machshava. Right, this is a very sharp, right, very sharp point. He says, "Listen," he says, "by lo lishma, once I've made it lo lishma, it is now kasher below Allah." Right. So now, if all I cared about was the asay, so the asay tells me I still have to continue bringing the carbon because I have to bring it maximally. Right. But at this point, if I had lo lishma again, the carbon would stay what? Kasher below Allah. So yes, the first time I had the lo lishma, it went from being kosher to kasher v'lo Allah. But the second time I have lo lishma, there's no status change. And therefore, if all I had was the asay, is there any problem in having a second, third, fourth lo lishma thought? No, because at this point I've already minimized the effectiveness of the carbon, but I'm not decreasing its effectiveness by having even more lo lishmanis. But if I say that once you've had lo lishma, you still have to continue bringing the carbon maximally, right? That can't be the assay because it is maximal. At this point, I can't bring it better than I'm already doing, which is minus. But if I tell you don't have a second lo lishma, right, what must I be saying?
That there's a negative.
That there is a prohibition to have a thought lo lishma. Right? No. Again, the asay is your chayiv to bring it maximally. So the first time you bring it lo lishma, you have a lo lishma, you violate the asay. Well, not, no, because at this point, even if I bring lo lishma again, it stays at kasher v'lo'ala. So the first time, when the carbon had the potential of being kosher v'ole, if I then have lo lishma, then I have minimized its effectiveness.
I mean,
but as long as I keep bringing the carbon, it's not kosher anymore, right? No, it's not ola anymore. It's not ola anymore. It's kosher. But if I want to say it's usher to have a second olishma,
the asay's out. I'm going to keep bringing it.
No, you're right. I couldn't do it as pigle, right? I couldn't make it worse than it already is, right? But to keep it at the current state of olishma,
You're saying that the pasuk is specifically on kosher
the asay is to bring the karban to its maximal effectiveness. So when it's kosher ma'oleh, so obviously if I then have a lolish ma'kavana, I have minimized its effect. That I could violate the assay. But once I've done that, if I tell you, okay, even though you're going to keep bringing this carbon, and now it's, no matter what you do, no matter how many times you have lolish ma, it's going to be kosher but not oleh. Then if all that I have is the assay, as long as I bring it, right, I've only violated the assay once because I can't make it. At this point, there's nothing I can do. As long as I keep having lolishma, it's kosher v'lola, kosher v'lola, kosher v'lola. But if I tell you, you're not allowed to do lolishma a second time, even though you're going to continue bringing it as kosher v'lola, it must be that the having the improper thought is itself problematic. What do you mean? The first time I did it with shechita. Then I do lolishma again by Kabbalah. Then I do lolishma again by Halacha. And lolishma again by Zrika. Right? If you think you violate four times, even though time 2, 3, and 4 it stayed at lo lishma and kasher v'lo ala, then it must be that having the lo lishma thought was usher, not usher because I'm minimizing the effectiveness, because by the second time I'm not minimizing any effectiveness.
What if the asay is just to do with lishma at all stages?
Because it doesn't say that. Because the pasuk doesn't say have lishma. The pasuk is motzatz v'defa tishmor v'asita. Do what you said you were going to do. Is bring the karban.
Right.
If the asay said have the right machshava, you're right. But that's why you have to care about words. Right. The pasuk, nowhere in the pasuk does it say bring it with the proper thoughts. It says bring it properly. Right. But that's exactly his point. Lo yichashev does talk about thought, but the asays don't talk about thought. That's his point.
Right.
No, that's exactly his point.
Right.
Oh, good. We'll clarify that. Is the assays focused on the offering, right? It's only the load assays that start talking about thought, per se. And that's how he knows. You're right. If you had a pasuk which said, bring your karban b'machshava tova, then obviously you could say that every time I fail to do that, I'm violating the assay. But that's what you have to read. The pasuk is motzatz v'defa tishmor v'asita. Bring it. Correct, but again, that pasuk is about bringing the carbon. It says nothing directly about thought.
Yes, but
yeah, but you're not. At this point, you're now bringing it as effectively and properly as you can. Say it again.
So, Lodi, let me use the more classic case. Lodi brings a shlok, based on the Midrash, and he shechts it, b'shei ola. He cannot, the Kohen cannot subsequently do Kabbalah b'shei ola because of the pasuk.
Okay, fine. But the, right, but the pasuk, the words of the pasuk are just keep bringing the karban, right?
Yes, and subsequently not doing that would be possible.
Correct,
but
it's not said. But it's not. No, because at this point, you just have to keep bringing the karban, right?
That's what, well, I have a question on this, though, because they use the pasuk neder and adav in a weird way, where it's not like a direct, they learn it from there. It's like they're applying that concept.
I understand. Correct. And that's why you could have said that, right? You could have come up with it. But again, the Nesiv is following the logic and saying, wait a second. If the Aseh is formulated in the Pasuk about bringing the Karban, at this point, it is as effective as it's ever going to be. Right? I messed up the first time, admittedly. Right? But if you really want to say that it's usher to continue messing up, right? Not messing up to the point where you couldn't bring it at all, but to continue doing the exact same thing you did, which has no effect on it, right, then you must think that there's an intrinsic problem in having those thoughts. Again, you want to twist it and say, no, no, no. Now, you could get out of it by saying, no, it's an assay, and what I'm saying is not true, which is that, no, maybe every time you have lo lishma, it's true that it will stay at kasher v'lo olah, but why are you assuming that all kasher v'lo olahs are created equal? Maybe there's kasher v'lo olah level 50 and 40 and 30, and each time you're chipping away at it metaphysically, right? And therefore, you really are messing it up. You want to do that? You could, right? You could. I understand. I understand. What? Correct. Meaning you'll have to say that it's, right, it's you have to say it's not subtraction, it's division. Yes. You'll have to say that you've divided it, and therefore it will never get to zero, right? No matter how many times you have the Lishma, you could come up with that, and I understand the why you want to do that in the Pasuk, right? He Motzes Vedecha Dishmor Vasita. He wants to say, let's say they're all derived from Motzes Vedecha Dishmor Vasita. The problem is that in order to read it that way and still say it's Asur to have the second Lo Lishma, you have to come up with some sort of model like the second Lo Lishma, even though the first time you have Lo Lishma went to Kashur Lo Allah, the second time you have Lo Lishma it's Kashur Lo Allah, the third time it's Kashur Lo Allah, right? Still, those Kashur Lo Allahs are not actually equivalent. I've done something different, and therefore I have failed in Motzas Vadecha Tishmor Vasita. I get it. But then you have to posit some type of idea that every time you have Lo Lishma, it is divided. Lishma, because that is very surprising, because the pasuk, again, if you take the pasuk seriously, it's do what you said you were going to do, but at this point you are doing, correct, and now you have done that, and you are continuing to do that in a way that doesn't minimize its effectiveness any more than you already did. No, it doesn't say that. It's bringing the karban. No, it means bringing karban. Right, but you're already not. That's my point, is that you're not minimizing. Again, I understand. You want to say it's all an assay, and the reason you can't have a second one is because the assay isn't really about bringing the karban. It's... Again, but you are doing the avodah. Right? And you're doing the avodah in a way that doesn't minimize its quality any more than it already has been messed up. I get it. I know what you're saying. You're saying, no, maybe you have to reformulate in the assay, despite the fact that it says that the assay is about bringing the carbon. What you say, what you would have to imply, is that what that really means is perform each process of the avodah in the maximal way. And even in a case when not having lo lishma is not going to do anything more than I've already done, I'm supposed to respect the integrity of each, that I understand. Okay, I'm telling you what the Nitziv was saying. I'm not saying it's impossible to read, right? Again, is it possible in the sugya? Yes, right? The reason that Nitziv comes up with a hybrid position is because he's trying to explain why Rashi says one thing in one place and another thing in another place, right? But you're right. Could you come up with a purely assay model? You could, right? Meaning, you could just say that all this is wrong, and that really all of this is an assay, and the assay should be formulated as, at each stage, bring the carbon as maximally as you can, regardless of if it's actually changing. It's that, you could do that. I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm not saying that it's not possible. That is a plausible read of the sugya, right? It's not what the Nitziv is saying. I'm not saying it's impossible, right? Again, I told you, I'm not bringing these achronim to say that this is the final word, right? I'm showing the tension in the sugya, right, and tension in the Rambam, tension in Rashi, we laid out the different models. You're not wrong, right? In the end of the day, that's not what Rashi means, and all the achronim I gave you here are defending Rashi. Is what you're saying a completely plausible read of the sugya?
I think you got it right.
What? No, I'm saying, is it a plausible read of the sugya? For sure it's a plausible read of the sugya. No, I don't think it's a plausible read, because he also invokes a lav. Right? Again, Rashi and the Rambam seem to think at some level there's a lav. The Nitziv's argument is because it's much smoother to say that the assay says bring it maximally, but if I'm going to say that it's usher to continue having improper thoughts that are not going to invalidate it more than it's already invalidated, then that must that implies that there's an intrinsic problem with the thoughts I'm having, rather than, right, like simply having that thought is problematic. On Chavtet. Chavtet. Lo yechashev. That's exactly the point. Is they say that's why the Rambam and Rashi both seem to think that that lo lishma is a derivative of pigle. It's not pigle, but it's a derivative. That's exactly their point. No, they're not making up a pasuk. They're explaining why is it that Rashi and the Rambam both invoke the pasuk of lo yichashev by pigle in their context of other lo lishmas. That's their point. That's the answer. Meaning, I told you at the beginning of the year, pesukim are going to matter here. The answer for them is, it's not a theoretical one. It's, does lo yichashev carry over from pigle? The Netziv says, well, if you're going to tell me that I'm not allowed to have a second psul lo lishma, even though it's already not olev, then it must be that, just like by pigle, the invalidating machshava is problematic, and here it is as well. But again, not if you think that it's only about the result. It's only if you take this middle thing, that having improper thoughts by karban is intrinsically problematic. Okay, what I gave you here, I see, is two more attempts, but I did actually want to read the Grizz with you, because that's the most, I think, extensive treatment of the sugya, where he's going to go back and forth in the sugya. I don't know if this will take us all of tomorrow, and then I wanted to briefly read this Chuvin Lo Rishma, of the Torah Lishma, because I want you to see how the questions of whether this is a local halacha to Karbano, right? Or, in fact, is implying something, right? Because everything we've seen until now assumes that whatever we're saying is, and this is why I want you to care about psukim, is local. Because everyone here is trying to figure out, how do I plug in the very local psukim by Karbano, right? Just more, right? The second you stop taking psukim seriously here, and you start saying, maybe this is, right, that all of this is really presenting theoretical models, right? And the psukim are not the actual source, right? Or they're not telling you this is local to karban. That's when you have to start wondering, will we find parallel models without any pasuk being invoked outside of here? And that's where I said the Torah Lishma very surprisingly does. It is admittedly surprising, though he was a very creative person, so I mean, not so surprising, yeah.
It's interesting because I guess this is just a general observation, not a specific point, but like I guess all this comes from the fact that like korbanot are like a system within the system of Torah.
Yes, exactly. Right. It's not just their system within a system, but we have unique rules of drashot. So for right, in terms of drashot, we have unique rules of like, you know, what does repeating a halacha mean in the context of kachem as opposed to elsewhere in the Torah? Right. These are. Yes, but that is exactly the point, right? Which is, yes, there's a lot of psukim. Yes, they are very carefully reading psukim and the Gemara's use of those psukim. But in the end of the day, is that just revealing you models that exist in Torah? Or is it telling you, no, this is a local karban rule? So tomorrow we'll read the Grizz, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, the Kovetz Yurim, and then we will, you know, actually read this Torah Lishma, because I want you to see how he, despite all the focus we've had on psukim, he basically ignores it and says, no, right? No, this is a universal model, and you'll see how he applies it. And then we will start the question of whether in all this sugya, lo lishma is in your head, or every time we say thought, what we really mean is speech, or whether we sometimes mean speech and sometimes mean thought. And in order to there, we're going to go very broad. We're going to talk about speech and thought throughout Torah in like 10 different circumstances, from shlichut yad and truma to tanit, and Shema and Davening, I don't remember how many I put on, but okay, we'll stop there for now.